Production. Recorded live.
Well, good evening, every all. Welcome to Unzipping Reality, the Third Awakening. And we are awake. We are all accounted for. We are all where we're supposed to be. We had a little bit of an uphill climb here at the beginning of the program, but thank you so much for just bridging over with us. That's part of being alive in the new paradigm, is being light on our feet and managing our adaptations as human beings. So congratulations, everyone, and welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, Leah LaChapelle, coming at you live tonight, October the 26th, 2014, from Austin, Texas. And we're doing a lot of unzipping these days. There is a lot of promise in the air. I mean positivity. And wherever we go, we are taking this amazing, almost uncanny ability to open people's eyes, ears, and hearts. This is who we are. This is why we are here. So welcome, everyone, to Unzipping Reality. So tonight on the broadcast, I have one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Tobias Lars, and he is joining us from Sedona, Arizona. And so to get started, I always like to do a little bit of a kickoff, and it just makes everyone feel like they're in alignment, you know? So we're looking out at reality. And we have eyes to see, so we are confident when we say that reality is now sufficiently unzipped. The portal is open, and we are stepping on through and being who and what we really are. And as I promised, joining us tonight is Tobias Lars, and it's my honor to tell you just a little bit about Tobias. And I do apologize, Tobias, for the kind of false start that we had to endure there. But you know what? It's going to be worth it. And here's a little bit about Tobias Lars. He's got like a bazillion degrees. He's got a Bachelor of Science in pre-med from the University of Connecticut, a master's degree in international management from the American Graduate School of International Management in Glendale, Arizona. He is also a non-active member of Mensa. So we got all of that out of the way. Now let me tell you about Tobias. Tobias is the author of Listening to the Sun, and also Awakening Souls. And both of those books are available on Amazon. He is an eco-spiritual travel adventure guide. I mean, this stuff about thriving and awakening and adventuring around the planet just comes out of this man's pores. He is the creator of Course of Awakening, the seminar, also the creator of Inner Body Awakening, the Alchemy Energy Process, the Heart Energy, and I'm told, coming soon, the Full Spectrum Human. His website is Sedona, let's see, Sedona, what is that? Sedona Counseling. .com. Sedona Soul Counseling. That's it. I'll get it in a minute. SedonaSoulCounseling.com. And we are definitely here to amplify, to investigate, to crack wide open what this thing is that we refer to as our soul. And Tobias Lars is going to be in Austin, Texas, November 14th through the 16th, 2014, and we are a little bit excited about his special introduction to our own soul. Tobias, thank you so much for hanging in there, staying through the glitches. Thank you for being my guest tonight. Welcome.
I kept quiet that whole time. I'm amazed.
Well, I'm thoroughly amazed. You have proven yourself, my friend. Yeah, and, you know, it's fun for me to brag on you a little bit. Probably the ties that bind are pretty pronounced here. You are one of my favorite beings on the planet, and so let's have some fun tonight. I want to just ask you a question right off the bat. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Are we, as human beings, ready for the real awakening that we've been hearing about, praying for, hoping for, and waiting for?
It's happening anyway. It's going to happen. You know, when water rises, it gets everything wet. So basically there's an arising of a, you could say, frequency, energy-wise, an ocean on the planet. So everything is going to be touched. So there are many souls that are not ready on the planet. You know, Pollyanna awakening ideas is that everybody's going to wake up. I don't really subscribe to that. But there's a large amount, millions of us at this time. If 20% of the world's population, what is it now, 7 billion?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. 20% of 7 billion is going to be 1.4 billion people. That's a lot of 1,400 million people that are interested in something new, some new paradigm, some new way, not just slave, not just consume, not just use ourselves up, push till we die. And so there's a huge awakening on the planet right now. And for those souls that are ready and want it, it's going to be work still. It's still, you know, it's not some magic awakening. I was just doing our class this morning, teleclass we do every Sunday, and we're pretty real on this class. But it was all about, and I don't plan them, they just sort of happened. People bring topics and then we go with what is sort of collective what to do. But it's an exacting journey, you know. If you want to be a reality buster, if you want to unzip reality, right, that's a bit shocking to the system. You know, people can say, oh, I want to see a UFO, I want to see a UFO, I want to see a UFO. Yeah. First times they see a UFO, they usually go unconscious and either faint or completely block it out. Because what we think we're mentally ready for is not what our system, our energetic body system, is ready for. So God's source is so beautiful and so sweet with all of us. God's source, our situation, where you find yourself sitting, my sit-you-ation, the nation of you sitting somewhere, or laying down, or standing, or walking, or whatever, your circumstance, 360 around you, the circle that stances around you, is perfect for you. It's perfectly ordered for you. And God's source is very sweet. God's source allows for total free will. Doesn't push us. It may prod us. It may nudge us, but that's because we've asked for it. So the real awakening for millions is coming to Earth. But for millions of other people, it's just going to be a normal karmic life. They die. They mostly just try to survive and tough it out. But there is another bigger shift because of the precession of the equinoxes, a bigger cycle shift on the planet as well. So Mother Earth herself has said, you know, I'm done with hosting completely unconscious people or people who like to actually kill me, you know, to hurt the Earth. So those souls are going to be relocated. And it's not a bad thing. God's source isn't angry at souls. It is just, we have choice. So there's a choice whether Jesus Christ pointed towards the separation of the wheat from the chaff. There's a choice here, you know, coming up. It's the choice of, do I want an awakening and an opening so that I can die before I die? For example, in ayahuasca ceremonies, you get to see the journey of your death that the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, they talk about before you actually do it. People are having more and more near-death experiences. But the reality we look at, unzipping reality, imagine a radio frequency band. In America, it goes from 88 to 106 or something, you know, the frequency modulation, the FM. And imagine if you could only go from 91 to 93. That would severely limit your listening ability, your reality. Well, that's what we've done, and it's a direct reflection with the visible light spectrum, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, what we call visible. Well, the hummingbirds, they have a different visible light spectrum than us. Flies do. They see infrared, ultraviolet, you know. So there's a whole spectrum that the humans have shut down from into a very narrow bandwidth. Well, this is going to be reopening again because the age of Aquarius, if you will, is spirit, really. And then, so it really has to do with radio frequencies and electromagnetic frequencies. The yugas that the Hindus talk about, the Greeks talk about the Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age, Gold Age. These are processionary cycles that have to do with the rotation of the galaxy that have to do with certain frequencies. And so this is not negotiable. You can't go, I don't want to wake up. If you're here on planet Earth at this time, the unfolding, the awakening, the unzipping is happening. Those that don't want to participate on with it are going to be lovingly exited. Just, it's called death, you know, and relocated to planets that still involve soul control, denial, not being willing to look at ourselves, you know, that type of thing, which is a phase or a place and a right experience. There's no judgment on it. But Mother Earth is basically moving into a cleaner phase where we're going to widen our reality spectrum. So a true unzipping of reality is exactly what's happening for many, many people. I have so many clients that, I'll just give one, you know, woman, children, young, husband has construction company, they're in Australia, and she says, Tobias, I'm having Hindu goddesses appear in my life. I don't believe in any of this. They're showing up in my house, you know? And I completely understand it, because this is the widening of the frequency. If you start looking into infrared, X-ray, gamma, and these other consciousness zones, what you call the other dimensions, you know, you're going to see things out of the corner of your eye. If you want to truly awaken, this stuff is going to happen. You can't just think about it. You can't just theorize about it. You can't just say you're ready for it. At some point, it will actually happen. It's like talking about swimming forever, but at some point, you have to get in the water. And so that's going to be happening en masse to people. Because of the work I do, I talk to a lot of people like that. Housewife in Georgia, the lawyer husband, divorce, all of a sudden she realizes, holy cow, I'm a Pleiadian. You know? It is, God is no respecter of persons. That's a weird way of saying it, the old way. But Source is no respecter of your belief systems. Because belief systems are made up. What is. The Tao is electromagnetic frequencies, consciousness. The universe has a structure. You can make up ideas about it to experience, but underneath it, there is a structure of creation. Who made your soul? How was your soul incepted? How did it begin? There's a good Zen koan question.
Well, no kidding. Can we talk a little bit about the soul, because I just want to give you a heads up, Tobias. We've been doing our homework here in Austin, Texas, and so when you come, we are just going to really, you know, we're going to have the right questions, I do believe, and we're looking at our soul. What is our soul? Can you just give us a little tidbit? Because, you know, I don't want you to feel like you have to say, you know, your entire thesis here, because I want you to save some for when you come to Austin. But this idea about the soul is just, it has our attention. It's so intriguing. What is it?
Just feel the question. Just feel the question. Who were you before you came to Earth, before you have the name you have now? What or who were you? Ask yourself leading open-ended questions and see what you get. There's no need for an answer. This is just that opening questions are like icebreakers. There are opening dimensions. Who or what were you before you had the name you have now? Just that starts opening our sense, our awareness, our consciousness.
I can feel that.
Yeah. That gives us a bigger perspective. Just that question, we can feel, wow, I am more than my current birthplace, personality, my history. You know, I mean, Don Juan is trying to desperately teach Carlos Castaneda the concept of erasing personal history. This doesn't mean you erase who you are. It just means you realize, I am more. I am more fundamental. I am deeper. I am the backdrop. I am the screen. I am the source of which this particular individualization of God's source is playing out. And then it becomes enjoyable, fun, not so serious. You know, there is no matter of life and death if there is no death. You know?
Laughter.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, laughter. We're gonna get a sign, you know, one of those laughter signs, applause signs when you're here. We're just gonna hold it up for the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a scary proposition. I mean, confront actually doing it, because many of us know about the reduced awareness, limited spectrum awareness of humans that has been inculcated, promoted, you know, whatever, the last thousands of odd years.
Mm-hmm.
We could argue about it. 5 million years ago, the first fall of Earth, yes, okay, Atlantis, etc., the civilizations before that. Time, see, because when time is flexible, there is no rigid time. Now, there's a good opening, too. Just feel that for a second. Dear to the analyst's heart is, what exact year did this happen? That question makes no sense in spirit.
Yeah.
Because time is flexible. Time is relative. Einstein's incepted that idea for us, or reminded us again. So if time is flexible, when you ask spirit, when did this happen? Well, that depends on what little group of souls you were in. The Mayans that created structures, you know, in the Yucatan and Belize and Guatemala, they lived in a different time frequency than the Greeks, you know. But their civilizations are all valid. And we know this is true. I can prove it to you that time is not real. It's very easy, you know. When you're having a really good flowing time,
yeah,
time seems to move quickly.
Yeah.
So we know the experience of it is relative. So that's a good question. Where is the part of me that is sitting as creator and outside of time?
Now we're getting into soul territory.
You know, exactly. Timeless place. And that's why you can't get God or masters to worry about things. You can't get Jesus to worry about things. Jesus, Lazarus is dead. This is a horrible situation. What are we going to do? We don't know what to do. We can't do anything. It's terrible. Jesus doesn't go, you're right. This is horrible. What are we going to do? This is unbelievable. I have no clue. We better talk to God.
Let me drop everything and race over there and try to rescue the situation.
Yeah. Because they exist outside of time. And they know they can wind time in, like the sun. How many rays are coming off the sun? Incalculable.
Mm.
That's actually dimensional realities coming off the sun. Each ray is a ray of reality, is a ray of experience. So a master sits in their Buddha field. Now I'm talking theoretically and ideally here. I'm not at that place fully. I have been toying with this for about 25 years in this lifetime, and I've had many experiences, whether it's direct experiences with UFOs. You know, the first time it happened, I went unconscious. The second time, I remained conscious. Whether it's existing in multiple places at once, I've experienced that. I've experienced what we call miracles. There's no such thing as miracles. It's all super natural. It's all super natural. And it's not about that. Those things happen naturally. But we've been shut down to a limited bandwidth. When you open the gate for the cows, they're very scared to go out. When you open the gate and say, you're free, they're going to go, oh, no, it's too scary. And that's basically, if we're realistic, that is the existence for most of us as humans today, with good reason, because we've had multiple lifetimes of all kinds of trauma and war, and it's basically we've been mind traumatized to behave well, you know. And so this has to change. As the paradigm shifts, we're going to melt and unzip our realities. Now, that's a little scary at first. When you have the Hindu goddess appear in your house, you're going to go, what's wrong with me? Another example, woman, they build their beautiful home at the gated community, they got everything together, the young babies, all of a sudden she starts having episodes of going into the nothingness.
Oh.
She'll be at the grocery store and literally just go, I can't remember who I am and what I am.
Wow.
I don't remember my name, but I feel really good. And then, you know, so this is nothing to be scared of. Watch Eckhart Tolle as he sits up front there in front of an audience. There's a couple on YouTube. He'll sit there for 3 minutes. It's so beautiful. I can watch him, and he's like, I don't remember who I am and what I'm doing here, and I'm just existing purely as a brand new baby child. And he was so sweet about it. He goes, after 3 minutes of total silence in front of the audience, now that will push people's boundaries.
Yeah.
He says, I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Right? And see, all this incessant mind chatter and conceptual isn't at a certain point, it's going to become we're going to realize, I want beingness more than doingness. Whether that's a subtle doingness of our minds, which are constantly sort of projecting ideas, thoughts, concepts, so forth. You know? And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful time. But it's also uncompromising, because anything that is going to be still worshipping idolatry attached to the phenomenal world, meaning the outside, the creation, if you're attached to the creation, you're going to get your butt slammed. Whether that's your identity or your big bank account or your little bank account, whatever it is, we're going to be taught, because we're choosing it. If you're here and you want the awakening, you're choosing this, believe it or not. And your soul
now,
is...
Now, you're saying, excuse me, you're saying attached to the creation,
yeah,
not to be confused with the actual earth.
Yes, the creator, exactly. Be attached to the creator, which you are, which I am, you know, all of it is God, yes. So it can come at you from the outside as well. But if you think the outside is first, it's a feedback situation. So this is what's going on right now. Anybody attached to name and form or identity is going to be, there's going to be, let's be real. Let's not be Pollyanna.
Oh, wow.
People are going to be going crazy.
Yeah.
People are be losing their marbles because, and checking out early and stuff like that. And there's going to be waves of fear across the planet, personal mini Armageddons and some collective Armageddon scenarios. Now, last time it's full on physical sinking of continents and Mesopotamian, Mediterranean surrounding world. It wasn't the whole world. Everyone thinks their little kingdom of the world is the whole earth. You remember? In the Mediterranean place, they think, oh, if you sail outside the Straits of Gibraltar, it's just big dragons that'll eat your ships. It's very dangerous. Well, not exactly true. There's whole civilizations in North and South America and so forth. The Australian Aborigines have nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing. So when the whole, it says the whole world was flooded. No, it wasn't.
No.
It was the ark moved from somewhere in there, you know, Syria or Israel, Palestine or somewhere, or northern Iran and then moved to Mount Ararat in Turkey. It's not that far.
Yeah.
That's not the whole world. So we have to realize when the Hopis, I go see the Hopis, they say, we're the center of the universe. But they know that's, everyone is the center of the universe. But their creation stories, their flood stories, yes, it's a similar thing, but it's not the same as the Semitic story in the book of Genesis and the Pentateuch, you know. Moses is trying to tell a story that he has been trained in because he's a high priest of Egypt. If you remember the story, he's found as a little boy. He's taken into the Pharaoh's family. The Pharaoh at this point is a decaying. Notice in Egypt that early Egypt was the highest and purest. And then the civilization fell. By the time Moses, he's the absolute end of Egypt. It's when the priests have gone into total black magic and misuse of power. That's even mentioned in the Bible, and making snakes out of staffs and this and that and fighting and plagues and all that stuff. He is using, I know I'm speaking very strongly here, but for those that can hear it.
Thank you.
Receive it. Almost the Ark is a poor excuse for the Atlantean crystal and free energy technology. It is a devolvement, that ark that Moses takes with him. It is an Atlantean piece of technology that has to do with weather modification and electromagnetic things. But because humans were so unpure by the time it got to the Israelites, they have to wear these vestments, these gold vests with big jewels in it, because they can't handle the truth, as Jack Nicholson says. They can't handle to stand in the holies of holies without them being killed because they're so impure. But the original Egypt, they were able to go through the initiation chamber in the Great Pyramid and survive it and become born again. What do you think?
I'll talk a little bit about initiation. It seems like we're going through various stages of initiation. I like thinking of my own self in terms of being an initiate. What are some of the signs that we can expect to see if we're going through some sort of an initiation?
Divorce, bankruptcy, and cancer.
Oh, perfect. I love the answer.
Great.
That's excellent.
Great, Tobias. That makes it really attractive.
Oh, my gosh. And if you have any more questions for Tobias, the number to call in to the show, this is a live show, unless you're listening by archive, the number to call is 724-444-7444. And just call in and let us know that you want to ask a question.
So, I know I'm...
Oh, wow, that packs a punch.
I know if someone's hearing me for the first time, they might go, this guy's either wackadoodle or he's scaring me or, you know, I'm strangely interested in some of this. But it's time. The full revealing is the apocalypse. The Greek word full divine revelation is what apocalypse means. And still God is so sweet. You know, the universe is so sweet with us, but it still feels very scary for us. So as you're having an initiation, you're going to have your old beliefs, your old energies, basically burnt out of your cellular structures, you know. These are old belief systems, old karmas, old traumas, old, you know, patterns. They're just imprints, energetic imprints. So that takes many, many forms, but often big changes, you know, that I just don't belong here anymore. I don't belong with these people, or, you know, I'm completely changing. And that can take many forms. For me, it was divorce, bankruptcy, and I avoided the cancer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that way. I worked with a man just a couple of days ago who, big Wall Street, you know, trader on Wall Street, partying, big money. All of a sudden, he started getting headaches, and that was his wake-up call to search for health, you know. And so that's how that shifted. Some kind of knock on the shoulder, tap on the shoulder that says, it's time now to wake up. And so we see the bigger picture. It can be dreams, strange dreams, or things you hear, or things appearing in your bedroom. A lot of people I know, that's what's going on. All kinds of different ways. A strange feeling of, I just don't belong in this situation anymore. It's like the whole earth is going to have a midlife crisis. You know?
That is great. That's a very, very creative energy to go through a midlife crisis, especially to go through it with grace and love. Most people don't really have that experience. It's usually, you know, like death and destruction and mayhem in the wake of a midlife crisis.
If we're programmed, you know, if we are kind of zombie-ish, which is why we have this massive fascination with, you know, zombie movies, is because that's really what's going on. Compared to when Jesus tells people, don't you know that you are gods? We are pretty much zombies, most people on the planet, compared to forgetting that we are gods. So to wake up a zombie, you know, you don't sit down and reason with them. You know what I mean? Mister, do you mind? So usually the universe has to give us a little bit of hard knocks to get us to snap out of it. And usually in the form of an emergency, just being realistic. But the word itself reveals the truth. Emerge and see. Emerge and see. You will be snapped out of the sleepwalking reality as the car is sliding towards the bridge abutment. All of a sudden time slows down. You're going 85 miles an hour. You notice that by the time you're sliding into the bridge, you're going about 70, you full-on impact, you're not even wearing a seatbelt, and somehow the thing gets all crumpled up and you walk out unscathed. But you lost about 5 minutes of time. You know? So there's thousands of scenarios of how things happen. And I'm not advocating struggleology and pain waking up, but for zombies, it takes usually some kind of smack for the wake-up, you know. So there's beautiful, elegant ways of doing it, you know. You can ride the tsunami. You can ride the energy waves and do it more proactively than resisting it. It's only in resistance that we hurt ourselves. This is why drunk people survive car crashes, because they're too drunk to be resisting. They don't resist. The other people that are coming home from church that are all hyper alert, they stiffen up terribly in the crash and they get hurt. But the drunk guy in the pickup, he's totally fine.
Amazing.
Right?
The irony of that.
Yeah. He's an angel of God bringing a message. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
my.
Joy and I had a wake-up call by getting rear-ended by a guy who totally crumpled his truck one time. And it was a way for us to go in and get chiropractic treatments for 3 months, which we needed. And we found this beautiful chiropractor that did something called network chiropractic, which really has to do with activating your kundalini and your root chakra and your energies, you know. So trusting the process, wherever you are, you call out and say, okay, God, I want another leap, another upgrade. And there's no shame, by the way, of saying, no, I like it where I am, and that's actually wisdom. It's about experience. It's not about everyone becoming a Jesus or a Krishna or a Buddha. That's not what it's about. It's about what you're here to experience and do. But being a little more conscious of it will make it more enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I mean, just looking forward to your coming to Austin and just talking about it, setting it all up, imagining it. I actually had a dream last night, Tobias, about you, and we were somewhere, I have no idea where, but there were 130 people that showed up.
Wait. Was it involved? Was Elvis there, and was it a beach
Yeah. Yeah, you had your hair all slicked back. No. But seriously, I mean, that was a great dream because we're going to co-create the event when you come. We're not an audience anymore. We're not going to just sit there and be spoon-fed. We are interactive creators, and we're inviting you to Austin to have an experience. And that's what our crew here in Austin does. We love having experiences that empower us and remind one another to self-empower. And so that's who you are for us, is you are going to be a catalyst.
I want to
ask you a couple of things. First of all, I want to ask you, how do people get on your Sunday teleseminar? I have heard a little bit of one of yours, and I absolutely loved it. This was not plain vanilla stuff. How do people get on that?
You just go to Course of Awakening Seminar, courseofawakeningseminar.com, and you sign up.
Okay.
Sundays? Sundays at 10:30 LA time and 1:30 New York time, and 7 or 8 p.m. Europe time. So it would be for you guys. It's going to be in your part of the country 12:30, I think. Sunday.
Right.
CourseofAwakeningSeminar.com. You just call in. You sit back. You relax. Just listen in. A lot of people just feel an upgrade energetically. We're inviting, the beings that help us. There are beings that help us, that God herself, God himself, Source, our own higher selves, and so forth. But we have to give room to get in the invitation to come into our bodies, our beings, for it to happen. People can ask questions, too, but generally we're going with the flow, and sometimes it's questions, sometimes it's just receiving energy, sometimes it's a lot of laughter. It's just very different each time.
Oh, I love that you don't put Tobias in a can and then crank it open. This is new and fresh with every different group that you come in contact with.
Yes, and it depends on who shows up that time. We all create in the moment, and, I love when I do the Course of Awakening in New York this year, and I was in Europe last summer, and I'm going to Aruba right after Austin, 2 weeks later, I'm going to be in Aruba or in Bonaire, which is another island close to Aruba. And I love doing it because I have three main methods that basically there's nothing new under the sun. But the first step is you need to learn to feel your energy, yourself as an energy being. You need to be sensing. That's all that Eckhart Tolle teaches. Be present with yourself. Notice mm-hmm. your energies. But, you listen to him and not everybody gets it the way he does it, so that these are ancient methods. I don't claim ownership. There's nothing we can own in the new paradigm. It belongs to everybody. Nobody cares about ownership. And we're slowly moving into that. But Shiva, you could say, one of the most powerful Hindu deity, he's really creator and destroyer. He's called the destroyer sometimes, but it's the sense of ashes to ashes. There, nothing exists forever, and you touch that which is everlasting. Well, Shiva, way back, created 108 awakening techniques, things like staring into the wide open sky and letting yourself merge into it, like being in complete darkness for long periods of time, so your third eye opens up and you start sensing the world instead of being attached by the senses. But one of the techniques is called the inner body, being in conscious contact, being aware of your inner energy in your body. And these are the portals. So the first step we do is a simple way of just feeling, being able to be in contact with our gateway. I am the truth, the way, and the light.
Yes,
the light.
Indeed.
And what Jesus is saying, he's not saying me, Jeshua, Ben David, the personality. He says the great I am that I am, which is in you, is the gateway. Everyone is a stargate. Every soul is a portal. Everyone is a piece of the Elohim, whatever language you want to use. We are all pieces of God's source. We are potential gateways. So the first step is to learn to sense inward. The second thing we do on the course is the alchemy process, which is learning, if I'm an energy master, I can both create and dissolve energies. But there's been nobody teaching you that in first grade or eighth grade or 12th grade or 59th grade or super hyper, you know, PhD grade. Nobody teaches you that. All that teaching we do is still a, is still mental projection out into the world. But how does an engine run on only, if it has seven cylinders, how will it run on just one cylinder? Not very well. So most of our current culture is trying to run on one cylinder, namely our mental function, our third eye. That's only one chakra, only one zero point that the body has access to. You have six other access points. Your roots, your sex, your solar plexus, your heart, your throat. Yes, the third eye. And then your crown. And also, you are just an energetic torus field. So we need to get in touch with our feet, feel our fields first, and then learn to alchemize the energies. I'm in charge of the energies. And then the last process we do, the heart energy, is in order to have a loving creation, it's probably a good idea that we have the heart as part of what we're doing instead of scared egos looking for power, which creates nuclear stockpiles and arsenals and terror of Ebola and so forth, you know. So,
yeah.
So we keep it simple. The real awakening, in my sense, is other individuals doing their own awakening, but not just the mental awakening. See, at this point, we know everything. The reason Coast to Coast, I'm going to say something now that, you know, name and names. The reason Coast to Coast or big radio shows and all that stuff is going to stop being interesting to you because you've eaten, you know everything. It's like a rich person. I've tried every dang food on the whole planet. I'm not that excited about it anymore.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I want something else. Well, what you want is your own heart, your own being, your own hookup. So once you know everything about the secret bases on Mars and the Illuminati and the secret stargates there and the history of the Earth and this and that and, you know, the whole shenanigans, yes, all that's true. You need to go through that. But once you've heard Richard Hoagland, God bless him, doing really good work, right? Once you've heard that intellectual expose or Dr. Stephen Greer, God bless all of them. Everyone's doing the right thing. Once you get all the information, you're on information overload. Now you need to do something.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Tobias. What would you say to someone who's just having a really, really hard time? They're, you know how we talk about the school of hard knocks, and they just seem to go from one hard knock to the next hard knock to the next hard knock. What would you say to someone who's just really having a difficult time?
Welcome to your awakening. Awesome. That's and I'm speaking from experience. People thought I was suicidal. I think my ex-wife took out life insurance policies on me. You know, be exactly with what's happening. Feel your rage, your pain, your terror, your hopelessness. They are just experiences. Be with it. Learn to be with what exactly is happening. Learn to be honest about... Most people are trained not even to sense their energies. Most people are in their heads. When you ask a lot of people, they go, how do you feel about that? They go, oh, I think... No. You're thinking. How do you feel? Stop. Let me touch your heart. Put your attention on your heart. What are you feeling right here? It feels damn uncomfortable, and I want to stop thinking and feeling that. I want to go back up into my head. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand. What do you feel in your stomach? What are you feeling now? We've been trained not to feel. Face it.
Okay, so what happens after you feel it?
Well, just the very nature of presence, this is, and being with things, is it starts resolving itself. Being present with it is like bringing a little flame of light to the block of ice. It starts to melt it. The attention is that little flame. Just being present with it. You can always breathe. Even if you're in strong physical pain, even if you're having a kidney stone, even if you're having whatever, let me be as, the more present you are, the more you do not try to jump out of the experience, but go into it. Meet and meet and greet the experience. Embrace it to a rate. We've all heard this. Face it, feel it, free it. You know? There's no other way. That's what Jesus says too when he says, face the devil, finish the fight. That's he's just describing the same technique. And take breaks. It's not all struggle. It's not all pain. You know? It actually becomes beautiful. It's like when after you have a really good cry, you finally let it go, you're like, oh, my God. It feels like after the storm has passed and it's all clear and beautiful now. But you can avoid it, and most people are avoiding it for decades and lifetimes. The woman who gets, you know, pancreatic cancer, it's that husband that he cheated on me 24 years ago, and I'm still resenting him, and, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yes. That is just a wonderful, wonderful answer. I really, really appreciate it because, you know, some of us can just sit around, watch Eckhart Tolle videos and, you know, think about the new paradigm. But some people are really in a pinch. And thank you so much for that answer because my heart goes out to people right now. This is not easy work.
And let me say this. I don't mean to come off as harsh about it, but practical tools is go into it, feel it. I'll give an example. One night, 15 years ago, I wake up and I'm having a kidney stone.
Oh.
And I know, and I can see the scenario of, okay, hospital stuff and, you know, fluorescent lights, not that much fun, right? And clinical situation. And then I go, okay, God, can I choose another timeline? Is there an opt-out position here? And God says yes. Spirit says yes. My still small voice says yes. Frame it however you want. And I call, actually, my ex-wife at the time. We're friends. It's fine. It's all good. We're all souls on a journey. And I just have this huge release, like, just God says you need to, if you want to let, you need to let go to let me in if you want me to deal with this kidney stone.
Really?
Then I feel like a weight lifter's, you know, when they wear those thick belts, you know, those thick, or like, you know, or the MMA or boxer guys, they wear the I'm the king of the world belts, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. So I feel this heat, warmth around my whole kidney area and my front and back. And also I'm crying and I'm releasing and this is the humbling. This is the humiliation. The reason St. Francis becomes St. Francis is because he's willing to go through the humiliation, in a good sense, the humbling, the dissolving of my personal ego arrogance, you know? And as I'm doing that, I don't even remember what happened, but it went away, and I just could feel my stomach, I could feel that part of my body go liquid. These are not miracles. These are let go into... I asked, is there another choice? And God says, yes. But you have to give it over to me. Now, I'm going to tell a story that's going to blow people's mind.
Okay. But
one of my close friends and teachers, when he was learning this as well, back in Boston, Massachusetts, with one of his friends who was a Harvard football player, they were opening up to these energies, these liquid energies, and they were working with the Greek pantheon. See, all of it's just symbology, like Joseph Campbell says. It doesn't matter. The hero's journey comes, whether it's Jesus or you know, the Greeks or the Krishna or the, you know, whatever. It's the same story. And they were out swimming in a gorge, you know, up in New England. And as his friend, my friend's friend, dove into the water, he hit a rock underwater with his wrist, with his hand. It broke his wrist, a compound fracture. Both the bones of the forearm are sticking out of the skin.
Oh, ouch.
Okay. So this is not sort of, oh, yeah, I made it up in my head. No, no, it's right there. And he comes out of the water and says this to my friend. He says, this is my gift to you. And my friend goes, you know, the problem is the gift. It's the opportunity. The emergency is the opportunity to step into a bigger self.
Yes.
My friend hears, well, that looks pretty damn, you know, that's a big thing. And the same thing, he lets go and says, is there a place, is there a reality, is there a place where I can let go enough that we can rewind time or we can choose an alternate timeline or something here? And he hears the same thing from God, he says. Said exact same thing I experienced years later with the kidney stones. God says, you have to let go enough of your idea of reality, of what's possible and not possible for me to help you. I cannot trespass on your belief systems, because if I do, it hurts you. It creates cognitive dissonance in people if you trespass on their belief system.
Yeah.
So he lets go, and he says, I put my hands around my friend's wrist, and again, everything went liquid, and sometime later I removed my hands, and we had created, his wrist was completely functional.
All right, so was that the healer or the healee doing that?
Both, I would suggest. He said, this is my gift to you. My broken wrist is my gift to you. Now, they both felt it and looked around, and then they both thought, as they, unbeknownst to them, up on the bridge a ways away, a bunch of motorcycle guys had stopped and had been watching the whole episode.
Really?
So as their minds started to say, well, maybe we just made all that up, as they walked up on the bridge, all of the guys on the bridge wanted to see his friend's wrist because they hadn't seen it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm using that as an example of this letting go. And we're not looking for stuff like that, you know?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to do it the difficult way. But to people that are going through a very hard time where it seems like nothing they try is working, nothing is getting started, I know I have all this beautiful talent, but I feel thwarted at every opportunity. I feel throttled and stopped. It's like I'm cursed and the universe is stopping me. This is part of the dark night of the soul. This is the underworld journey. This is the going down for a deep cleaning. And so the quickest way through those, the most effective way, is you've got to get absolutely real with how you feel and what you're experiencing. And then there are some methods, but see, even at that point, the soul gets very angry at methods. It says, bleep the methods, screw that. It gets tired of processing. It just is belligerent and angry at the creation and at God, usually, in those places.
Yeah, if I get tired of methods too. All of the metaphysics in a box. It's only, 109.95, I just get sick of that. I want to be real, and that's why we're inviting you to Austin, because we want to have a real experience. We want it right here, right now, in these bodies, for us, with us, through us, with you. And that's what we're up to. And I'm just so excited. I just want to tell everybody again that Tobias Lars is my guest this evening.
He is the creator of the Course of Awakening. And here in Austin, Texas, on November the 14th through the 16th, he will be giving a series of presentations on Friday evening. It is a special introduction to your own soul. And it's very affordable. It's a Friday evening, $15. I mean, come on. That's extraordinarily generous of Tobias. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're really going to get into the heavier, not heavier, but, you know, the lighter, the heavy lighter, the real course that we are opening before our own selves. And it's going to be fun. It's going to bring us to a new place. I mean, I'll personally guarantee you, we need to have a sense of urgency, I believe, about where we are as a human species and what is available to us. And this is a great opportunity. And so, again, much generosity, because this Course of Awakening is going on all over the world as Tobias takes it around. He's going to be in Austin in November. Then he's going to Bonaire, Aruba in the Caribbean later in November. He's going to be in Sydney, Australia. And of course, he is ongoing there in Sedona, Arizona. So this is not insignificant. This is a great opportunity. And I'm not here to sell you on it. I'm just here to invite you, soul to soul. My soul yearns for more. And so I'm it. Tag, I'm it. Mm-hmm. And so it's my opportunity to interface with you, with Tobias. And so I invite you to do that. And so please contact me. It's Leah, L-E-A-H, at fearorlove.com. That's my email and also my website, fearorlove.com. You need to check that out. I've learned a lot from Tobias, and I'm a pretty good awakening coach. As a result, I'm saying that to really magnify who Tobias is. So, all right, I interrupted you a little bit there, so please do continue.
I just wanted to say, I'm being a little strong here tonight, I know. There's a lot of sweetness and love, too. You know, what I love is when we hit the spaces of direct, God loves to love us, Source loves to love us, it loves to give to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because of free will, it's just like you can't overgive to your children. It kind of spoils them or hurts them, you know, so God Source is the ultimate knower on when it's appropriate to give. But during the course, usually we have some cosmic laughter, lots of laughter and fun, and also very sweetness, love, you know. But we're going to and there might be personal messages we get, you know, depending on what people want to. It's unique every time. But the three main methods you're going to learn, how to feel your inner energy body, how to alchemize these energies, and how to have you keep your heart, remind yourself this Taurus field, spinning Taurus field, instead of the Merkaba, which I find a little bit too mechanical. The Melchizedek Merkaba is really not that loving. Earth has more of an apple shape, you know. I haven't seen any Melchizedek Merkaba looking women's bodies lately on this planet. They're a little more rounded and apple shaped sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and so that's really more the love. So the heart is more of a, anyway, I teach a certain method of feeling your heart fields, which are now becoming popular with heart math and stuff like that. So those three main methods you will have access to afterwards as well, online, ongoing.
Yeah.
We listen to them at any time. That's included in the course. And because, you know, Leah, you were the second course I ever did, the first trip I ever took 6 years ago, and you helped inspire it. You were the first talk show. I mean, I used to resist it. God said, you know, you could share this, Tobias. And I go, no, I don't really want to go out into the world. And you were part of the problem because you got me on your show. And it was wonderful. And you were part of the seduction of seducing me out into the world. I'm really happy living in a cabin, you know, in the woods. I love it, you know.
I hear that. This takes a lot of energy. I really understand what you're saying, and yet there's something about it that is irresistible. I'm happy to have been of service, and
yeah.
I'm happy that we're going to reunite in Austin again, because this is an important time to have experiences,
and
that's what I, yes, some tools, like, you know, what can I do when I feel like this, kind of a thing.
I do it every day, because why? Because it feels pleasurable. I feel my inner energies, because I love the rushes of energy. I love the pleasure for no reason. I love how it youthifies me. I love how it keeps me in constant communion. That's my interest. I know how to live lifetimes where you age and die and you sort of, you know, peter out. I'm not that interested in that anymore.
No, me either. It's boring.
Yeah, we've been there and done that. So So I want to tell you thanks for doing that. And also, I think we're doing like original pricing also. Instead of the normal $295, it's a little less.
It's amazing. Yes, I want to say that. Ordinarily, to be in the Course of Awakening, it is the $295, but we just feel guided with Tobias in the lead here to go for a price of $178 for both days, Saturday and Sunday, November 15th and 16th. Now, if you can't see your way to do both days at the $178, you may come for $125 for a single day. And as I mentioned before, $15 for the Friday night laughing and all kinds of awakening extravaganza going on. But, I mean, really, thank you so much, Tobias, because some people really want to be here. They don't quite have the shekels. Thank you so much for doing that.
And also, it's customized. Every sincere spiritual need is not turned away. There's always a way to have proper exchange. That's the way I do it, you know?
I have to say, that's a signature that I really look for in a powerful leader, speaker, master, teacher, is will they allow people to come who are the genuine speakers?
I think in Aruba, the woman she's cooking for the group in lieu of money, you know. So whatever, if you want to bring whatever. So that's very open and flexible. Just talk to Leah about that. I wanted to say, imagine for a second a zero point, a moment, even Friday evening, because all it takes is when you enter the no time space, the moment, then everything can get done in that moment. That's a nice theory. But it's an actual palpable experience as well. And so usually during the course, we get a few moments. And then we quickly start yakking again because there was too much.
Right. So a zero point will be offered for us to notice beyond time and space.
Because you know why? You know why? Because that's what I love.
Mm-hmm.
When I go on to do a course, I ask God. I'm selfish. I go, God, I want to have a good time.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it in my bones. I don't sacrifice myself for the group. Because the new model is that we don't sacrifice ourselves, but there's plenty for everyone, and enjoyment and connectedness. So I go to enjoy it. So I love when people are inspired and share. We do teach the methods, and the rest then is allowed for the souls to bring forth what they want. And I've done enough of it that I'm a bit of a lightning rod. Now, if God's the source of it, you know, source is the source of it. But I've had the crap beat out of me enough that I know it's, I love letting Source run the show, because then I have a better time. You know, I'm not responsible for anybody. You know, I'm caring of people, but I am not going to interfere, or I have no agenda except your soul's agenda, because that's what feeds me. It's just like watching your child come up with something spontaneous. The parent loves it. And like you said, we're also all equals. In one place, it's a gathering of equals. You know, it's just a, who's reminding who. I joke about it with clients a lot. I'm like, the class this morning, I ended with, thank you guys for showing up. I really needed that.
You know,
it's we all joke about it. Well, shouldn't you be paying us? And I go, no, I draw the line there.
I know, it's amazing. I have the most amazing beings that have asked for my coaching, and it's like it's them doing it. It's just extraordinary that there is a flow of energy that they pull through me, and it's from Source.
I love it. And as long as it pays my way and I make a little bit of money, I love getting out of the house.
We're talking Australia? Dude, that is amazing. And Aruba and these places, that's very exotic.
Because I make myself available. And I love how I love doing it this way. It's like if you're not controlling it, you let the universe do it through you. And this is something that we can share, too. That frequency vibration, I'll share with anybody. You know, you want an easier life? Because about 10 years ago, Joy will attest to this, my partner.
Hi, Joy. I love you. You're beautiful.
She's with the puppies at the other house at the moment. I'm here with two of the dogs in Sedona, and she's at the Phoenix house with 11 puppies and the mommy. But I'll see her tomorrow. But I said, I know how to do it the old way. You know, you work hard and you make a pile of money and then you die. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that model. My friends have gone through that model. But I said, I know how to do it that way. I want to enjoy myself. And so God said, sure. Because we have to ask the question. You know, God doesn't force it on us. Spirit doesn't force it on us. Is there a way to enjoy my way to awakening? Is there a way to everything that occurs around me in my life helps me awaken to more ease and abundance? Yes. Is that an exacting process? Yes. Does that feel very harsh on you having yourself deep scrubbed and Brillo pad cleaned from the inside? Yes, that's true. But the real spiritual awakening is like that. Jesus sweated blood. Again, I'm not promoting suffering and struggleology. This guy I just worked with, his new awakening process is he's going to create big, beautiful retreat center because he has money to do it in the most beautiful, exotic location in the world, in the Mediterranean. And he has a dance party, basically. You can do it that way. You know, the struggle is optional, but there's a deep program in the morphogenetic fields of Earth that struggle is part of the deal, you know. So we have to dissolve our way through the struggleology. We'll be doing some of that too, and this is partly what I'm here to do on the planet for me, because I spent many lifetimes as a renunciant. So I'm interested in allowing abundance. You know, so what is that? What do I want? Do I want to run a big foundation? No, because that's too much work. Do I want other people on these courses? Yes. You know, I love that. I love traveling and feeling other spirits and having a loving exchange. I just had some people here last night from Sweden and Bali and L.A. and Chile, and we went up on airport vortex just spontaneously, and it was just, that feeds me. That feeds me. So this can happen for all of us, no matter where you are. You don't have to live in Sedona. You can, anywhere you are, there's a plethora of available, because it's omnipresent, unlimited source energy in every quanta, every photon. So wherever you are, there's no such thing as shortage of opportunity and things to do. That's not true.
And I want to ask you, do you ever get any heat for your stance on not everybody is going in this great shift? Do you ever get any heat for that?
If I go bigger, if I become a bigger name, I will get all kinds of heat. But I'm sort of letting it on. But I do get hate mail. No, I get hate mail. I get people who attack me and all kinds of issues. Everyone has their pet little pit systems. So I get attacked by everybody, basically. And I get loved by everybody. I get loved.
Some people just really are committed to the entire planet going. And so they have some belief that this is possible for enough of us to thrive at such a high frequency that everybody goes. So that's one theory or scenario.
Half-truths are the most trapping. So when you feel the truth of that the Earth herself is ascending, yes, that is true. But if you're going to force other souls to go along with the program, you're not doing it God's way.
Yeah.
God allows free will, and you can't seriously tell me when you look around at the 8 billion people on this planet that they're all choosing ascension.
Yeah. No.
Can't say that. But
that's
there
a
will
very
be a
good
master.
Answer.
Yeah. So we have to be realistic. None of pie in the sky stuff is what gets you major pendulum swing wake up calls. It's what happens with cults, you know. So you can't go into magical thinking. You gotta keep it real, you know. There's always rumors of the shift and the pole shift and the 2012 super fifth dimensional awakening, blah blah blah. Real teachers know there are cycles. You know, I don't know if you know, but there was a crusade by the children crusade in the year like 1100. Thousands of 10, 11, 9, 8-year-old children marched on Jerusalem.
Really?
We have insane apocalyptic fanatic belief systems as just part of the deal. But if you get real, the Earth will be around for several more billion years. But it is true we're entering the age of Aquarius. We're entering a different yuga, a different time period where we're entering a different photonic belt because of the 65 million year time it takes to circle around the galaxy. It is true we are entering into what the Greeks would call the Golden Age. And that will be marked by, look around, super rapid advancement with electronics, fiber optics, so forth, awareness of consciousness, spirituality. It's moving incredibly rapidly, but not every human being on this planet is going to come around because of free will.
Right, and one of our guests in the chat room is saying that, true enough, that not everyone will choose ascension, but everyone is playing their part in order for that to occur, one way or another.
Yeah. Be thankful to the Illuminati.
Yes! Yes!
Be grateful for the deep rituals of materialism, worship, and that fear. Be grateful. Come on, 9/11 was a major vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
Was a wake-up call. I wrote a week after that. It holds true today if you still read what I wrote back then. I said, this is a foreshadowing of the greater awakening. We need that wake-up call. Because otherwise you're sleepwalking again. So to have two buildings dissolved in front of your eyes, everybody put their attention on it, you know, but there's still people that will be able to deny anything. Because denial is a choice. This is why when UFOs appear or spirits appear, which they do all the time around you, you can choose to deny it. This is the right of free will. And if you are triggered by those people, then that is showing you where you are still like them.
This is.
If you're triggered
If
you're triggered and angry at them, and why don't they see it my way, then you got some healing to do, Lucy.
Right? Yeah, I got
it. And not just intellectually, you know. So we need the people playing the role of the bad guys, you know. In fact, there's really a shortage of people having the courage to be willing to play the bad guy.
I know it.
I've had moments when I could feel one of the moments in one of our courses was when me and a guy I was processing with, the Illuminati showed up, or the concept of, you know, we're feeling it, 1776 and the original inception of it in Germany. Weishaupt. And Saint Germain, I probably shouldn't say this really, but who is a real being of awakening, and if you study him, he was the guy who walked the balustrade, the balcony in the Constitution Hall when everybody got cold feet. John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, etc., Jefferson, Arson, they all got cold feet and said, "We're not signing this damn thing because we're all going to get hung from the rafters. What were we thinking?"
Whoa.
A figure appeared on the balcony in Constitution Hall, spoke to them at length, and the message was, sign the paper. This is divinely ordained. That figure is a being called Saint Germain, who existed in the courts of Europe for 200 years. He's also Joseph of Arimathea. He's also Merlin the Magician.
Yeah.
Now, I'm speaking a little bit out of turn because he's the master of camouflage, too. But he also founded the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
That then got co-opted and went bad. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Just like America has been co-opted and is kind of dissolving at the seams right now.
Right.
Just like the Roman Empire was good to begin with and dissolved at the seams. Just like the Egyptian initially was a beautiful, and then it went horribly occult and black magic. Just like Atlantis was good. Just like Mars was good. Just like Marduk and Maldek were good. It all, you know? So be great. The one time we were doing this processing on the Illuminati and the concept came up of let's forgive and love them, Saint Germain showed up in the room with us. And the guy I was working with was a pro golf player. He didn't believe in any of this stuff.
Oh, my.
And Saint Germain was very interested in cleaning up the mess of what he had started.
Mm.
So it's all good in the end. Imagine the deepest, darkest sexual, satanic rituals underneath the Vatican. Horrible stuff. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yeah.
It actually is this reflection of our addiction to materiality. Millions of people stuck in nursing homes. That is not healthy.
No.
We're worshiping the body. Keeping the body alive is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it.
Yeah.
Trapping a soul in a body for multiple years when they're just caught in limbo, is that loving? Of course not. But so our addiction to bodies or worshiping the materiality is, so we need harsh wake-up calls. So it is all prods to awakening. Feel this thought for ourselves. All things that happen to me serve to awaken me. Whether it's glory and bliss, my blissing out and ecstasy and the tingling of my electric body and my heart overflowing with beautiful bliss, love for all things. Yes. Or I'm feeling under the heel of Lucifer as he's torturing me and shoving my personal sins in my face. I'm picking the extremes. Or the fact that your computer breaks down and isn't working anymore. Anything during the day, all things serve to awaken me. That's your choice. the relationship breakup, the new beautiful romantic relationship. All of it is accelerating me towards awakening.
Yes.
You can set it up this way. That's how I've set it up.
Yes. I love it, quite frankly.
A win, 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 win. If things happen or don't happen, if my flight is delayed, I love it. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where I am. I have nowhere to go.
Exactly. Because you go, there you are.
And I love me, and I love hanging out with my inner energy body. If I'm caught in traffic now, it used to bother me when Joy and I were going to go, I just want to go in shopping. And, you know, the joke is, the man has that. I go to my item and buy it, and I'm back in the car in 3.5 minutes.
Right.
The woman meanders all around the store for a half hour and, you know, finds really good deals. I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying. So now if that occurs, I love sitting in the car and just being with my energy field.
Absolutely.
My plane is not, you know, my plane got grounded. Awesome. There's an adventure.
It's a great cosmic pastime.
Yes. So set it up. It's a win-win. It all goes away tomorrow, all my work. I'm like, holy monkeys, I am free.
Yeah.
Or it goes big, and all of a sudden, you know, we're having thousands of people show up and we do teleclasses and this and that and talks. And I can actually feel an interest in my body. I used to reject that. But I can feel an interest in me of going, instead of working with personal sessions with people, the soul retrievals, the soul activations, the soul counseling, which I'm pretty busy with now, which I love, but I can also feel it shifting a little too. I want to do just presentations.
Mm-hmm. Can you run through those again? Because I was going to ask you to kind of distinguish those a little bit. You've got soul counseling, soul activations, soul retrievals, and soul script readings.
Correct, yeah. If you go to soulcounseling.com or SedonaSoulCounseling.com, same site, that's my personal work with people. And we have a lot of fun. I mean, it's all, I don't know how to describe it anymore, but the soul activation is usually a two-hour procedure where you get touched by the energies. Each chakra is sort of tuned up and you get activated. It's not for everybody because you want to be ready for that. A soul script reading is more your particular soul's history. I love this. I still doubt myself. I go, am I interpreting this correctly? And then the person goes, well, that's exactly true. My mother and this and that. And I'm like, I'm always surprised when the angels, it's usually from my right side that it shows up. And I get sort of a panorama, gentle inner vision. Thank you, Stevie Wonder. Of I'm seeing this woman in this incarnation, and she goes, yeah, that's exactly it, or, you know, whatever. We all have these abilities. So a soul script reading is sort of like, here's more about your soul's journey on Earth. You know, we've all had different. Some of us have been here a long time from the beginning. Others are star seeds. Others are Earth spirits that have been, raised up from the Earth itself. We're not all the same on Earth. General soul counseling mentoring sessions. I used to like never do ongoing sessions with people because I didn't want any dependency. But I do some now because that's kind of unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that there is a happy medium there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't take sessions with people. I mean, if people call and they have, it happens every so often, but I just put it back on people. I go, look, I'm not going to heal you.
Yeah.
This is how I scare clients off. This is how I do it. I go, I'm going to have you look at I'm going to take you into the body. I'm going to show you how to feel your inner energies, and I'll be there with you. We're going to invite your angels and helpers, and God herself, himself will be there. But you're going to have to look at it and feel it yourself.
Wow.
And if they want to be vampire, feed off the healer type thing, at that point they bail. Because I'm
Thank
not interested.
So much. Thank you for doing that and being that.
And I'm not harsh about it, you know, but I can tell because it doesn't feed me. See, it feeds me if it's feeding them.
Did you learn all this in the Life Coaching 101?
God spanked me repeatedly for about 20 years.
Yeah, that's where you learned it. Oh my gosh. Well, we're almost finished with our program, but can you tell us a little bit about what a soul retrieval is?
Yes, because
that sounds like science fiction.
When we are traumatized, the proverbial wolf who bites its paw to get out of the trap, right? The wolf bites its paw to get free of the trap. That wolf is then hobbled. Am I hearing a train?
I'm hearing a train.
Yeah. Cool. Train keep a coming.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
He's trained. Okay. So you're saying the wolf gnaws its paw off to get free of the trap.
That wolf is hobbled, yes, for the rest of its life. So
yeah.
What's happened for human spirits, when we've come to Earth, whether you're star seeds or human spirits or Earth spirits or walk-ins or, you know, relatively new or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there have been trauma has been happening on Earth. Just look at the wars, you know. Look at the abuse. Look at the stuff that's been going on Earth. For about 300,000 years, it's been quite traumatic on Earth. Basically, the history of Earth has been power overriding others, free will, overpowering, murdering people, and so forth.
Yeah.
That's not all it's been. But the bottom line, Bob, nowadays, is
mm-hmm.
military power or men in uniforms with guns on their hips. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So in this place, we have, many of us have been traumatized. I'll give you a gruesome example. The Roman secret police used to create specialized weapons to torture women and traumatize women sexually. For example, just a horrible example, but this has happened. You know, whether your child died or you died or a catastrophe or this and that. There's been a lot of trauma on Earth. When the soul experiences trauma, it dissociates itself from the experience. Just like a little three-year-old who's getting molested will float out of their body and they will block the experience. We block
you're
it out.
You're saying the soul dissociates?
The being, see, these are all terms. The spirit will be outside the body while the trauma is happening. It's in shock.
Okay.
And so that is but the energy is still happening to the being. You understand? But it's happening in denial, and I can't deal with that consciousness. This is why we have a subconscious.
Mm.
This is why children are born with tendencies. Children are not born as equal, pure slates. It is not true. Mozart's playing piano at 3. Very few children are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, as the wolf bites its paw off, we can let go of pieces of our soul essence. We can fragment. Imagine picking up a crystal angel and throwing it on the floor. There's a big chunk in the middle, but there's a bunch of shattered pieces. Most souls walking around on the earth today are those shattered pieces. The parental units of souls is not that many on this earth. And I know people will scream at this characterization, some of them. But so there is not meant to be this overpopulation going on. In the natural organic state, there is no overpopulation of cats or dogs or humans. There's an organic connected to source God production of bodies, and there's plenty for everyone. There is no shortage, but there's also no compulsive procreation. In a soul retrieval, we go and find these trauma places where a piece of us had to repress the experience, and we recover that essence, if you will, of the spirit, of the soul, you could say, or the spirit. The ghosts walking Hadrian's Wall. If you go to the northern end of England and where Scotland and England meet, where Hadrian's Wall used to be, there's reports of a Roman regiment that will march at night, the ghosts of these Roman soldiers. They were all murdered by the witchy Celts at the time, which, you know, I kind of agree with the Celts. But you'll see the Roman soldiers marching up to almost their waists in the earth. Because when they were there, the ground was lower. This has been reported by many people. Those Roman ghost soldiers are on a time loop. They're like a record that is stuck.
Yeah.
Each one of those soul fragments or those pieces of ectoplasmic essence belongs probably to someone who's probably incarnate right now. But to retrieve them, they need to go back to that experience in the woods where they were surrounded by voices and witchy things, and the shamanic druids created all kinds of magic, and it looked like the trees were moving, and they went through a terrifying experience and were killed. They need to go back to that experience and see it with compassion and healing and forgiveness for everyone involved, and then they reclaim a piece of that soul essence, that piece of stuck ghosts. Hauntings are stuck pieces of spirits, of souls. They're not the whole spirit. You understand? They're a fragment of a spirit.
Oh, okay.
But this time on earth, when it says in the book of Revelation, the very waters shall boil, it's talking about boiling these energies out. Mother Earth is not going to hold them for us anymore. Each piece of soul fragment, each piece of spirit fragment needs to go back to where it belongs, to its parental spirit. Everyone needs to clean up their own backyard. This will also, that persistent pain in your stomach. People are born with wounds, you know, being stabbed in the back, or a birthmark, or this or that. And energy. I used to have a thing across my intestines. I couldn't wear belts, or everything would bother me. It's completely gone now because I went back to that time when I was when I was sacrificed very much, just like in the Braveheart movie, being disemboweled because I was an upstart rebel against, in fact, the Roman thing in England. It was very much that. But so that's completely gone for me now.
Oh, congratulations. Well, Tobias, I think that we're probably at the end of our program here, but before we end, I do want to give one more shout out, and I don't know if she's still there, but I just want to say hi, Christy. Hi, Christy Aphrodite of Soul Journeys Radio of Days Past, and I've been on that show many times. Tobias was a regular on Christy's show, and I just wanted to say I love you, Christy, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight. So, Tobias, you're coming to Austin, and we're just more than excited about it. And we really want you to bring all of your irreverence and your spiritual incorrectness. We want you to bring it all. Bring it on. And we don't want you to hold back at all. We want you to just come and be in full spectrum, living color, and challenge us. And do the dance with us, and we'll just we'll be on our best behavior for you.
No, you won't.
Right? Oh, you caught me, darn! But we're looking towards November 14th, 15th, and 16th of this year, 2014, of just being an absolute blast, and I'm so excited. And for people to get tickets, they go to, tell us again,
CourseOfAwakeningSeminar.com, and you can register right there. It's the first button since it's the next event coming up, CourseOfAwakeningSeminar.com, or just contact Leo.
Yeah, just get in touch with me, and just go to fearorlove.com, and my contact information is on there. So, listen, this has just been so much fun. Again, I apologize for the hard, difficult start to the program, but it just kind of goes like that sometimes when we have these powerful spiritual beings. They just come in and overload the circuits, I think. So it's really been a lot of fun. Would you have anything left to say here in the closing moments?
It's about, there's lots of love and sweetness and nurturing too. God is strong when he, she is helping us awaken, but ultimately it's very loving. So I am listening to what's being directed, and so my interest is not in confronting people and their egos so much, unless that is what they're asking for and God is directing it. My interest is in giving people a feeling of renewed enjoyment, hope, ease, that it can be easy, and practical tools to so they can use it themselves, you know. And so very unpredictable what happens, but we will be teaching all of the methods, the inner body awakening, the alchemy energy process, and the heart energy, and then we might do some other things, you know, as they show up. Ho'oponopono, a basic beautiful meditation. But tools, you come away with tools, and you will have a direct energetic infusion that is meant to give you something you can build on. You know, that's what I want to do. And I want to have a good time. I want to hang out with you guys.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to have ice cream in the backyard with Leah and Wayne.
Absolutely. Oh, Wa is really looking forward to your being here. And so, yeah, we've got it circled on our calendar. So.
All right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I believe that is it for another Unzipping Reality. And please do go visit Tobias's website, which is SedonaSoulCounseling.com. And, you know, we didn't even talk about your spiritual adventures, but anyway, we'll do that another time. And please, go ahead.
You know, let me just say, an easy thing for people is just go to YouTube and type in Tobias Lars, and you'll get a sense of, you can feel if this is something that feels good for you. You know?
Oh, I'm so glad you reminded us, because Tobias is prolific on YouTube and very entertaining, very informational, and you can just really get so much for yourself. Tobias Lars on YouTube. Well, that is it, everyone. Please visit my website, fearorlove.com. I'm Leah LaChapelle, and my coaching is Waking Up to Me, personal awakening coaching. So that's it for this evening, and I'm here to remind us that oneness happens with allowance and balance. Trust the process. Know the process, see the process, and do the process as we unzip reality. Bye-bye, everyone.